Good afternoon to you. This is Walter Kiernan. I'll be with you in a minute with news of the day.
Now, here is Walter Kiernan.
Well, a happy July 1st to you and yours. If you didn't get to be a June bride, there's always July. Also, August, September, October, November, December, January, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know what's happened to the marriage market, though. John O'Brien, the chief clerk of the License Bureau in Chicago, says that there were 481 fewer June brides in his city this year than last, and 2,474 less than in June 1937. What does Colonel McCormick intend to do about that? It's a bad day for statistics. We also have a report from Washington that one-third of us are dopes. How do you like that? The Population Reference Bulletin says, quote, practically one-third of us are no better intellectually than dull or backward. One-third of a nation, 44 million Clifton Finnegans. And the bulletin says further, as a voting participant in helping to solve the many intricate problems of our complex civilization, a dull and backward individual is almost as helpless as an idiot. In fact, he may be more dangerous to democratic institutions because he is easily commanded by demagogues and dictators. However, the bulletin finds that 27% of the people have superior mental ability, 40% are normal. So all is not hopeless. And if there's any comfort in company, the British, I find, have the same situation. They did a survey there recently, an intelligence survey, and the Royal Commission on Population reported that the average intelligence in England is on the decrease at the rate of 5 intelligence quotient points in 50 to 60 years. So give us another 100 years and we'll all be dopes together. Except that I don't believe it. I told you yesterday about the ex-servicemen at Lehigh University. That's just one out of the hundreds of universities that ex-service fellows are attending. Told you that it used to be normal for 20% of a class to fall behind, and these fellows have cut it to 3%. College used to be more or less just for rich young fellows, and rich young men were not necessarily bright young men. Their fathers were the bright men. They had to be to get rich. But now we have colleges jammed with really bright young men. For the next 3, 4, 5 years at least, the schools will be turning out the largest number of higher educated men in our history. And they won't be fellows who got out just under the wire. They will be smart, and they will raise the general intelligence of the whole people. They won't be easily commanded by demagogues and dictators in the language of this report. Because they will have learned in school to do their own thinking, not take it from somebody else. They will have learned how to apply logic and analysis, how to separate propaganda from fact and politics from principle, and they'll take that knowledge home with them, and it will affect their families and their friends. A lot of folks who have been letting someone else do their thinking for them will learn from these fellas how to think for themselves. I don't know. I think we're in for a good mental tone-up, which we have needed for years, and I think these are the young fellows that are going to give it to us. They're settled, they're solid, they're serious. Many of them are already married and have children. They're family men now. There are very few campus playboys among them. They're wringing every ounce of knowledge, information, learning out of their college education that any fellow possibly could get. I've got a lot of hope for them, and because of them, for us. One-third of a nation may be backward today, but where do these missionaries of education get moving around? They'll change that. They'll make us all smart. There's news for them, by the way, today. The House Armed Services Committee unanimously approved legislation to convert terminal leave pay bonds into cash after September 1st. I hope ex-servicemen will be smart about that, too. You know, the original idea, terminal pay and interest-bearing bonds, cashable at the end of 5 years. The feeling was that most veterans' benefits were immediate. Schooling, business loans, home loans, job security. But that in 5 years' time, those terminal pay bonds would be a very nice little egg in the nest. But if there's anything always subject to change, it's veterans' legislation. So somebody says now, the fellow wants to hold on to his bond for 5 years and get the full interest, That's all right if he would like to cash it in September. Well, that's all right, too. They're going to make that change. It's been approved by the committee and probably will be approved in the House when it gets there. Well, mind not to tell any man what to do with his money, but I sure would salt away that bond for the full period unless I just had to have the money right now. You can spend it only once, and when it is gone, it is gone. Today, you know how you're fixed. 5 years from now, who knows? I don't think even Drew Pearson knows what's going to happen 5 years from now. So if a fellow doesn't need the bond money, I'd say hang on to it until it really comes to its final stage. Now here's your announcer for a minute, then I'll be back.
It's a fact that every minute of the day an accident happens on one of America's streets, roads, or highways. The trouble is, most of us think that horrible accidents always happen to somebody else. We read about such disasters as tragic motor smash-ups and people being struck down at intersections, but we forget them quickly and oftentimes continue to be careless. And that's why today our nation asks you to start observing all the rules of safety. For example, as a motorist, make sure your car is always in good condition. Keep your driving speed down. And if you're going to drive, don't drink. As a pedestrian, look both ways before crossing streets and don't cross against the lights. Be careful when you get out of vehicles on the traffic side. And one more thing, don't jaywalk. It's one of the biggest causes of accidents today. Remember, accidents don't always happen to other people. Start being accident conscious today. Now Walter Kiernan continues with the news.
Well, the foreign ministers of Britain, France, and the Soviet states sat down together again today and will again tomorrow to bat around George Marshall's We Pay As You Go plan, but with no great hopes of getting anywhere. Bevan and Badeau say that apparently Molotov's idea of a good aid plan for Europe is a blank check drawn on the United States. The story today is that if Molotov doesn't come around to some sort of acceptance of the Marshall Plan, the others will just say, well, goodbye, old friend. You run along, we'll go on without you. And when you come right down to it, what else can they do? Three or four fellows want to go swimming, and another one wants to go to a ball game. What else can they do but say, so long, see you later? There's no point in everybody sitting down and having a big meeting about it and haranguing each other on the merits of swimming versus baseball. Secretary Marshall says his plan is, he says, let the European nations draft their own self-recovery programs and let us have a look at them, and we'll see how much money we'll pump into them. Sounds fair enough, but Russia sees something sinister in it. Russia would. Russia has no objections to our pumping in the money if they can pump in the politics. And undoubtedly, they can see where an applicant at our loan window with a hammer and sickle pin in his buttonhole would get a cool reception. Molotov's position is entirely correct for Russia, and our position is equally correct for us. It is our money, and before we pump it into a country, we should know which way that country is leaning or intends to lean. Of course, we would prefer it didn't lean in any direction. We would prefer that it was interested in its own complete political independence. But if it is going to lean some direction, it had better lean our way. That's why we say, what are your plans for recovery? What are you doing and what do you plan to do about helping yourself? Tell us and we'll see what we can do about helping you. Now, Mr. Bevan and Mr. Badeau can see our position without too much mental effort, but Molotov cannot. It seems to be his idea that we should just bail up a lot of cash, ship it over there and say, here you are, fellas, dig in. And ask no questions. Of course, we do have to concede it is his job to carry the ball for Russia. He's not an our employee. He's paid by Russia. He has a perfect right to carry the ball for Russia. On the other hand, there's no reason why Bevan and Badeau should not go on without him if they can't come to agreement with him. I think Mr. Marshall is getting a little nettled about the situation. Secretary Marshall was talking to the Women's National Press Club today, and he referred to malicious distortion and deliberate propaganda attacking our efforts to speed world recovery. Here's one phrase out of his speech. The secretary said, our purposes are distorted, our motives impugned, and our traditions and institutions decried and smeared. Sounds to me like he was at least a little nettled. Well, speaking of agreements, soft coal operators were gathering in Washington again today to map plans to resume negotiations with old John Lewis for a new contract. There's some confusion there today, which came out of reports that U.S. Steel and Pittsburgh Consolidation Coal Company had agreed to grant Lewis's full wage hour demands. But Western operators said that they're not committed to any such offer. That would amount to a boost of about, oh, somewhere around 35 cents an hour for 400,000 miners. Charlie O'Neill, the chief spokesman for the Northern Appalachian Group, Charlie wouldn't say whether he had agreed to the proposal or had not, and from Mr. Lewis came silence. The miners, as you know, are currently on a vacation, a 10-day vacation. Good piece of news from the West Coast today, which I'm very happy to relay out there in California. Searchers today found that 2.5-year-old girl, Greta Mary Gale, who disappeared from a camp there on Sunday, disappeared about 10 o'clock Sunday morning. She was found today not very far from Lee's camp. The hunt had gone on for about 48 hours. The unfortunate thing in the case is that her grandfather, Congressman John Tolan, former Congressman Tolan of Berkeley, California, died last night in a hospital of a heart attack, which he suffered as a result of joining in the search. But I know we're all glad to know that the little girl has been found. One piece of news from Hungary. The Hungarian Communist Party is reported today to have demanded the dissolution of the National Assembly and the holding of new elections. That is according to a Budapest dispatch to Reuters news agency. It says the demand was made in a letter to the other three parties in the Hungarian coalition government. Not very much else today. In Philadelphia, police got report of a wild animal loose. It turned out to be a raccoon. Must have gotten away from a Yale man. There used to be a fellow around town here. I don't know much about raccoons, but there did used to be a fellow around town here always carried a marmoset with him everywhere he went. You know what a marmoset is, a very tiny monkey. Well, the marmoset was perched on his shoulder everywhere he went. Everywhere. Even to the asylum when he went there. The marmoset was still with him. Well, this is Walter Cannon without a marmoset, and here is your announcer.
You've probably heard lots of jokes about lawyers, but when it comes to attorney-inspired laughter, you can't beat the new Eddie Albert Show, which is broadcast over most of these ABC stations every Wednesday night. The star of the show is the same Eddie Albert whose performances on the screen have been enjoyed by millions. And Wednesday nights, you'll hear him take the part of a friendly, earnest, and somewhat confused young lawyer in the unique town of Plainville. Unique, of course, comes from the Latin, unus meaning one and equus meaning horse. Anyway, Plainville is a town that can support just one law firm, and Eddie has a rival, Judge Cartwright, who, by unhappy coincidence, is the father of Eddie's fiancée. Well, this can spell but one thing, trouble. Everyone in your family is sure to enjoy Eddie's adventures over these stations. Listen again tomorrow to Walter Cannon from Cannon's Corner with one man's opinion of the news. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.